I am back at the Pinehurst Resort with President Tom Pashley. And I know, Tom, we weren't able to connect till last year. So it's been a couple years since we've talked. And like always, there's a lot happening here at the Pinehurst Resort. Since then, you've become an anchor site for the USGA. And in just a couple of months from now, you're going to be, as they say at the draft, on the clock for the 2024 U.S. Open. Exciting times here in Pinehurst, North Carolina.
Like you say, there's always something new. If you've been gone for a year, chances are you'll see something different when you get here. As you drove in today, you probably saw the beginnings of Golf House Pinehurst. That's exciting to drive by every day for me on my way into work to see these structures now that I know by next spring will be the home of the Golf House Pinehurst, the World Golf Hall of Fame. And so, yeah, the Carolina Hotel is getting refreshed, Rory. So, you know, there's nothing more clarifying than knowing you're on the clock and you have 470-some days. I don't know the exact count, but I heard yesterday it was 470-something before the U.S. Open returns. So that gets us all very focused on making sure we put our best foot forward. The good news for us is, you know, the golf course, Pinehurst number 2, doesn't really have to change. You know, the beauty of that golf course is it's kind of U.S. Open ready every day now. There's no fairways to narrow. There's no rough to grow up. We just have to firm the greens and speed them up a little bit. So we don't have to focus our energy so much on the golf course, which allows us to focus it on kind of everything else.
Might Bill Coren, Ben Crenshaw, who did the restoration work about 10, 11 years ago, just come back and walk around with some USGA people and take a look at a couple things in case somebody wants to move a tee box or something?
Yeah, Bill Coren was here not too long ago. He visits, you know, maybe once a year, and the USGA is here all the time talking with our agronomy folks. And so right now I haven't heard any talk of any new tees. It's maybe some of the wiregrass areas need to be augmented. Maybe some of the plants have died over since the last U.S. Open, and we need to put a few more in there to make it a little more challenging off the tee. But yes, Bill Coren has surveyed the property recently. I don't think we're going to have to make a whole lot of changes.
The other thing is that you're going to do the back-to-back U.S. Opens in 2029, three U.S. Opens technically in 5 years. Some clubs say they could only handle 1 in 10. How do you manage to pull this off? And did you learn anything from 2014 when you did it last time that will change or implement how you proceed in 2029 with back-to-back men's and women's U.S. Opens?
Yeah, I'm excited about that. It was the first time it had ever been done when we did it in 2014. There was a lot of questions, a lot of hypothetical scenarios of how things might go, and back then, one of the big wild cards was the potential playoff, which would have been an 18-hole playoff. So if the men couldn't finish on Sunday, they had to finish on Monday. Meanwhile, the women are showing up and ready to start their practice rounds. Luckily for us, that's over now. There is no more 18-hole playoff in the U.S. Open. So a lot of decisions the USGA still has to make. They haven't determined if the men will go first or the women will go first. So that's a question mark that'll get determined. Probably has a lot to do with schedule as much as anything else. I think we did learn some things. I think to the credit of the USGA, the golf course really played exceptionally well for both weeks. And so the goal of having the if a man was hitting an 8-iron into a green, having a woman hit an 8-iron approach, they nailed that. And so luckily we don't have to work too hard on that again. The only difference is, you know, back then we had bent grass greens on Pinehurst number 2. This time we have Bermuda grass greens. So come June, in the heat that we get here in North Carolina in the summer, that Bermuda grass just loves the heat. Whereas the bent, you were kind of babying and nursing. And so I think if anything, Pinehurst number 2 might play a little more difficult because we're going to have green surfaces that you can really push without worrying, will they survive for week 2? So I think it gives the USGA some flexibility to dial things up a little bit on the green speeds.
How much do you think it could change just due to the fact Mike Davis won't be in charge this time? It'll be Michael Wan. And how much might U.S. Opens change under his leadership at the USGA?
Hard to say. We've had many opportunities to be around Mike Wan since he took over the job, and he's a super energetic, creative leader. Love everything he's done. to embrace Gulf House Pine Earth, because that decision had kind of already been made. So I think he's really gotten on board with it and accelerating things. So I don't anticipate, you know, the golf course setup. I think they've kind of handed that, those reins over to John Bodenhammer. And so I don't think it'll be a whole lot different. It went so well, Rory, last time. I remember after the back-to-backs we had in 2014, people asked, would you do it again? And you almost hate to test fate, you know, tempt fate, because it went so well. Mother Nature smiled on us. The play was fantastic. But I think it really is an opportunity to showcase, you know, the best golfers in the world. Two consecutive weeks. There's really nothing like it. Our volunteers, you know, that was one of the big questions. Can people, you know, rally for two consecutive weeks? And the neat thing there was, you know, if you were a volunteer, you could kind of pick over this 14-day window, pick 5 days that you're willing to volunteer. So I think we're pretty dialed in. And gosh, you know, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We got the one in 16 months to focus on, but it's nice to know not only back-to-back in 2029, but U.S. Opens all the way through 2047.
Tom, with a bigger USGA presence right here, basically attached to your parking lot. Now, could there be other USGA championships here? Would the property Pinehurst have an interest in that, whether it be the men's senior open, the women's senior open, mid-amateurs? You know, there are a few USGA events that require more than one golf course, and that's one luxury you have here, is more than one golf course.
Yeah, we do. We do big well. You know, we absolutely would love to do some things in addition to the U.S. Open, and that's always kind of been part of the plan. We haven't ironed out all the details of what those future amateur championships will look like. But the one thing that we did last year with the USGA, first time they had hosted the Adaptive Open. So Pinehurst number 6 was home of the 2022 inaugural Adaptive Open. And that was fantastic. And we get to do it again this summer. So we've had now 2 consecutive years of the Adaptive Open, Rory. And if you didn't, we hope that it's going to be able to get some more exposure this year, because last year it just, you know, it was such a heartwarming thing to experience and to see the skill of these golfers and to just see the energy level of the spectators. There were some really great stories that came out of that. So we want to absolutely continue hosting not only the Opens, but the amateurs as well.
Mm-hmm. Tom, let's talk a little bit about lodging here. There's been so many projects at the various hotels. You got the Manor Inn open a couple years ago. You've been working at the Carolina. I think you're in phase 2 of that. I know you want to get it done before the U.S. Open. And then somehow this nice little historical house called the Magnolia Inn popped up on your radar. And it doesn't have a lot of rooms, but it does have a really cozy kind of touch feeling there, along with some really good Italian food on the first floor.
You know your stuff. Villaggio is the Italian restaurant inside the Magnolia Inn, which is a charming little bed and breakfast right in the heart of the village. And we acquired that building a little over a year ago. The restaurant's been continuously operating since then, but we did close the 10 guest rooms, and we've consolidated it now down into 8 guest rooms. There's just nothing like, we just have done some soft openings there with employees spending the night just to work out the kinks. And the feedback that I'm hearing from them is, you know, there's just nothing like waking up in the morning, opening your blinds and seeing into the village of Pinehurst. You know, we talked about having rooms with views of golf, but to have a charming view of the village of Pinehurst, be able to walk out of your room in the morning, spill into the village and find some of the quaint little coffee shops and pubs that we have. So yeah, I think the Magnolia, if somebody's coming to Pinehurst, maybe it's a couples trip. It's an anniversary, a honeymoon. I think the Magnolia is going to be a great choice for them.
Over in the Carolina, which is back open, not all the rooms are open, but there's still some work going on. And you've had a room there called the Ryder Cup Room for a long time that with your attachment to the USGA these days, it sounds like maybe when that room reopens, it might need a name of Havemeyer or something like the Amateur Trophy that has been played here before, and I'm sure we'll come back again someday. But is the creative department here working on a new name for that food and beverage lounge over there?
We are. So the Ryder Cup Lounge is currently closed, being renovated, and we also did a total renovation of the Carolina Hotel lobby. Somebody once called it golf's living room, which I loved thinking about that. The coffee shop has been expanded and renovated, and so now it's the lounges, the bar and lounges turn. So that'll be closed for a significant amount of this year, probably reopening in the fall. And we're gonna, our marketing team has been hard at work with names. We keep having things that we have to name, and so yeah, that's on the list. And it's going to be a great transformation. It used to be 12 years ago, it was just a meeting room. We had a small lobby bar that we called the Ryder Cup Lounge, and then we tripled the space of it, blew out into this meeting room. So it was always kind of an afterthought. And now that we're rolling up our sleeves and working with architects, it's going to be a beautiful bar. You'll be able to sit on the veranda of the Carolina Hotel watching time pass by. We added some fire pits now right outside the patio of the Ryder Cup Lounge. So, like I said, every time you come here, there's something new, and the Carolina just keeps getting better. We find a way to keep all the charm and that historic character, but also make it more modern and convenient for today's travelers.
Well, the last time you and I spoke, you told me, hey, we're going to do something over at course number 8. It's been 25 years or so, and we're going to shut it down for a summer and get it reopened. And you did reopen it. The course looks great. It looks like it's been rebranded a little bit with a newer logo. When I was over there, they were still tearing apart inside the clubhouse. And there's some rumors that we could see some lodging popping up around the outside of that golf course. Give us all the details.
Yeah, great reminder. Yeah, it's course 8. It was originally called the Centennial Course to celebrate our 100-year anniversary. It opened in 1995. And so it had been open for 25 years. It needed a little TLC, so we closed it for the summer of 2022, rebuilt the greens, redid a lot of the bunkers, did this phrase mowing process on the fairways to get rid of some of the thatch, make it play firmer and faster, took out a lot of trees on the back nine in particular, really opened up these big expansive vistas that used to be out there, but it was amazing to see how it had changed over those 25 years. So it was really kind of just a refresh of the golf course, but the clubhouse has been totally gutted, and it is now, it'll open in mid-February, and it's going to have a lot of energy. You used to walk in and you had this big expansive hallway and views out the back, but the bar was tucked over here to the left. You couldn't see it when you walk in. Now, when you open the front door, you're going to see this beautiful view, but there's going to be a bar right in the middle of your sight line. So there's going to be instant energy and just color going on in that room. So I think people who enjoy number 8, if they come back and play it now with the new clubhouse, the better playing conditions, I think they'll be impressed.
Anything you might be building over there by number 8?
That's right. You
place to stay?
I wasn't trying to dodge the lodging question, but no. So yeah, we have this nice little triangle of land, if you will, between the 9th hole and the 10th hole that we've been dreaming about for quite some time. And yeah, we would like to add some golf cottages out there. We're going through the permitting process for that right now, the rezoning process. And our plan is to have approximately 9 different buildings, and some of them would be 4 bedrooms. We might have an 8-bedroom golf cottage. And, as we've seen the popularity of our 4-bedroom villas at the Carolina Hotel, a lot of our guests are people on a buddy's trip. They don't get together that often. And so when they do get together, They don't want the night to end by taking the elevator up to their room and going their separate ways. They want to keep hanging out, watching the game in the living room. And so that's the type of product that we're planning to add out here at number 8, which, as I mentioned, would be our first rooms with a view of golf at Pinehurst. Can you believe it? With 9 golf courses and a par 3, it's hard to believe we don't have any rooms with a view of golf. The golf cottages at number 8 will be the first.
Well, you might just have to add a story or two over to the Carolina Hotel. But it sounds like this new project you got going on, the big project, the 10th course at Pinehurst with Tom Doak in charge. And there's so many questions. People are saying, is this the old pit holes? And Ben and Bill were staking things out there, and what's happened to them? And this whole project seems to have a new look, and it sounds like it's an opportunity to create yet another phase of Pinehurst, kind of like what Disney World does in Orlando when they have multiple theme parks. You could have multiple golf-themed areas. Tell us more.
It's amazing, Roy. We've been talking for 10 or 15 minutes, and we're just now getting to number 10. There's just so many things going on that are exciting. So, yes, we announced in early January the groundbreaking on our 10th golf course in Aberdeen. We've had this land, it's 900 plus acres. We've had this land for some of it for 20 years, some of it for 10 years, and have just been waiting for the right time. We haven't made any secret about, yeah, there will be golf down there eventually. Bill Coore and Ben Crenshaw routed a golf course on this land, on the eastern part of the land, back in 2011. And again, we didn't need more golf in 2011. We had plenty, more than we needed at the time. But now with the explosion of interest in golf, we absolutely need some additional rounds and some additional tee times. So we decided the time was right to add another golf course. The Coore Crenshaw routing, you know, they've been waiting for us to call for, you know, years. And when we finally said, hey, guys, we're starting to get serious, they're booked up, you know, for many, many years. And so shame on us. We waited too long. And so we weren't able to begin work on their routing. And so we got in touch with Tom Doak, who does amazing work, as everyone knows, working on sand in particular. Is beautiful to see what he's done there. Our owner, Bob Dedman, has had the opportunity to go to Terra 80 in New Zealand and loved the work that was done there. So when we were able to get in touch with Tom Doak and have him come look at the land, we kind of let them look at all 900 acres. We didn't say, no, this, you can't go over here. This is already spoken for. We let them look at it all. And he did get excited about the other side of the property, the western part of this 900 acres. And he got enthused about it. Fortunately for us and for him, he had a gap in his schedule. And he said, if you can get started sooner than later, we might be able to make this work. And so we got to work and got started on the permitting and all the processes that it takes to build a golf course. And so in middle of January, just a few weeks ago, they've broken ground. We've cleared the trees from the routing, and Angela Moser, Tom's senior design associate, she's beginning to shape golf holes right now. And Tom Doak will be here in the very near future to kind of check on the work that's been happening, get on there and edit it or whatever he's going to do. I can't wait to see him, you know, on a Sand Pro or on a dozer. And so it's very exciting that the 9 full 18-hole golf courses isn't enough. We need some additional golf. And the beauty is we've got land down there and room for additional golf as we need it, whether it's another par 3 course, golf cottages. We have plenty of space down there for cottages, clubhouse. So we really do think the next, you know, 10 to 20 years of growth for Pinehurst are going to happen down there.
Mm-hmm. And so for those people who were panicking, thinking that, hey, I love Ben and Bill's work, and now they've been kicked to the curb, they really haven't been. It might just be a matter of them getting a little window in their schedule, and they might have to wait for Tom Doak and Angela Moser to wrap up their project. But Ben and Bill could be right behind them with the next 18 down there.
Could be. It's possible. Again, everybody's very busy right now, and we want to really see how folks react to the Doak course down there. And don't know if we have demand for two new golf courses yet, but yes, we love what Bill and Ben did on Pinehurst number 2. At some point, people are going to, you know, it's still a Donald Ross golf course. And so we don't have a Coore Crenshaw golf course, and gosh, we'd sure love to. But there's no telling where it'll go. We're excited about the vision that Bill and Ben have for that land down there. And so we'll just have to wait and see.
Tom, the World Golf Hall of Fame was in Pinehurst. It left. It's coming back. What's the feeling about getting the Hall of Fame back? And doesn't it seem kind of fitting that it really does belong here?
Yes, it does feel fitting. And I think Pinehurst has evolved so much since when it left. I came here in 1996 and it had already moved. And so I could only imagine, you know, how successful it would be to be here in the home of American golf, with the number of golf travelers that come through this destination on an annual basis, to not only have it here, but to have it right on the main thoroughfare, you know, between the Carolina Hotel and the clubhouse. I think just puts it, like I say, on the candy aisle in the supermarket for impulse people to buy. So I think it's going to be wonderful to have not only the World Golf Hall of Fame, but then the USGA's Welcome Center, to have their testing, you know, all the golf ball and equipment testing that's going to happen in their research facility. I think it's going to be neat to see golfers have the opportunity to come and interact with the USGA a little bit, better understand what their role in the game is, and then go into the World Golf Hall of Fame, be able to see all the great players and the, some of the great moments in golf history, and then come here to the Pinehurst Clubhouse and immerse themselves kind of in Pinehurst history and Pinehurst championship moments, it's going to be a really powerful combination. And I think it opens sometime in the spring of 2024. They're going to induct the first, the next class in the World Golf Hall of Fame is going to be done here in Pinehurst before the 2024 U.S. Open.
Tom, we know that the Gilhans did an incredible job on the cradle, just wonderful, but it seems like the whole concept of a par three course has really exploded at properties like Pinehurst around the country. And when people talk about building one, or we're going to build one, and they've already come down to play and see this, their architect has come down to play and see this, and it just seems like the cradle and its incredible halfway house have had such an influence on people playing par three golf and the direction of those type of courses going forward.
Well, thank you. And yes, the cradle just continues to be a wonderful success. It brings so many people into the game like a magnet almost. And we certainly weren't the first short course, but I think because it was Pinehurst, because it was in the location that it was, and because it was a little different than what others have done with the music, with the vibe, with people playing barefoot, you know, having a handful of three or four clubs and playing in about an hour. So yes, it has been something that many, many people have come and studied, and it's fun to see where they, you know, they come and look at it and then create their different version of it. And it's neat to see the different interpretations. And I like what short courses are at other places. Sometimes you have to take your full bag and play on par threes that you could drop on any golf course. Then you have the cradle. I think what makes the cradle so unique and special is that all nine holes, you can see all nine holes from everywhere on the golf course. You feel like you're almost playing in every group that's out there. So if something, if you hear the hoots and hollers on hole six and you're back on hole two, you still feel like you're kind of part of the action and celebrating with them. So yeah, it's neat. The cradle, you know, that phrase was because Pinehurst was the cradle of American golf. The first golf holes in Pinehurst were on that property. And even back then, back in the early 1900s, people came to see what was happening in golf in Pinehurst. And then they went back to their home clubs and wanted to emulate it. So it's neat to see it kind of come full circle. People have been coming and observing and then learning and taking it to their hometowns, this concept of golf for over 100 years.
Tom, what's it been like for you and your team to work through the list of projects you've done and what's coming? I know some clubs maybe, we're going to do nine holes of renovation this year and nine holes next year, and then we're going to do the clubhouse. And after three or four years of projects, they say, I just want to take a breath. I just want to open the doors and not do anything other than tell people go play golf and have a good time. But your list of projects has been going on for years, and now you've got more on your plate.
Well, yeah, it's typically when people like you come and remind us how much has changed since they were here that we realize all that we've done. When you're here in the moment, perhaps you lose sight of it. We've got a great team. We've got great people who work on these projects, great contractors. But ultimately, Rory, I guess I'll have to acknowledge the ownership of Pinehurst. The Dedman family are not content to just let Pinehurst be a golf museum. You know, they are thinking about the next 100 years, and they say that all the time. And so, you know, they have seemingly an insatiable appetite to keep Pinehurst moving forward. And so when we get visits from Bob Dedman and the family, they're always encouraging us. They're getting wonderful feedback from their relationships who are telling them how much they're enjoying Pinehurst. It really does kind of just fuel our desire to keep innovating. I mean, it's amazing to think that a golf destination that's been around for 127, 28 years is innovating in the golf space right now. So, yeah, every once in a while you do want to sit down in a rocking chair and kind of exhale and just say, let's take a year off. But at the same time, we're just having so much fun doing it and getting such great feedback that we don't want to stop.
Tell us about something that maybe we haven't talked about yet. It seems like sometimes you're full of surprises. A few years back, you said, hey, you haven't asked me about the Pitt property, and now here we are finally. But is there anything else coming that you can tell us pull out of that crystal ball and surprise people with that may or may not happen in a few years from now?
We've been pretty transparent, and there's nothing jumps to mind, Roy. The one thing that I am wrapping my brain around a little bit is, you know, our putting course, the Thistle Dew putting course, kind of a Himalayas style 18-hole putting course with humps and bumps, is very popular. The Cradle, with its nine holes, you know, anywhere from 50 to 125 yards, is very popular. I'm kind of wondering, what's the mashup of the two? You know, is there an experience where you push the two of those things together, and you have a golf experience that's a mashup of the Cradle and Thistle Dew? If somebody has some great ideas on that, we'd be interested, because, you know, those are two things that are working really well for us. And I think if you could walk around a course with a putter and a wedge, you know, a lob wedge or a 56-degree wedge, and that's kind of what I'm envisioning. And I don't know what that looks like, but I might have mentioned, Rory, we have 900 acres that we're working on. And so that's kind of running through our brain a little bit. It's like, what would those two successful things here, what would a mashup of Thistle Dew and the Cradle look like? And would people enjoy playing that?
Well, Tom Pashley, thank you very much. It seems like, from what we've seen at the PGA Show and some of the other properties we've been to, 2023 is going to be a great year for golf. And I have no doubts it'll be a great year in Pinehurst, where it's always a beautiful day.